I'd like to ask you to read with me in the Old Testament in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 17. Verse 9. The heart. Your heart. My heart. The heart of every human being. The heart is deceitful above all things. And desperately, that word actually in this context is incurably, desperately, incurably wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, the inward parts. If I could borrow just something of the title of Charles Dickens' famous novel, A Tale of Two Cities, I would tell you tonight that the gospel is the tale of two hearts. It is the story of the human heart, and it is the story of the heart of God. There comes to my memory this evening an incident took place in the Philadelphia area, just on the New Jersey side of the river from Philadelphia. One of the gospel halls in the New Jersey, southern New Jersey area, has for years had a very attractive billboard outside its building. It's along a very busy highway, and the text that they have chosen to display to the passing thousands, I was going to say millions, but you wouldn't believe me, the passing thousands is, "When we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly." So, there is a neighbor of one of the Christians there who ended up telling her this story. He told her the story of how he was saved. He said, "For years I used to pass that billboard, and I wondered why anyone would ever put a billboard like that beside a busy highway. Christ died for the ungodly. Who is that sign for anyway? Doesn't apply to me as I'm passing by. That doesn't apply to the most of people that are going by this sign." He then told the story of how he had been brought in contact with friends who brought him to hear the gospel. And he came to recognize as he listened to the gospel, "I am ungodly. And it is for the ungodly, it is for me that Christ died." Now, in a very simple way, let me tell you that every person that is saved through taking in the truth that the death of Christ meets my need. But what the Bible says is it meets the need of the ungodly. And until a person discovers that God is talking about me, that the Bible is not complimenting me on being a fine person, but telling me that as God sees me, there is a wickedness that dwells within my heart. Until that truth is to some extent grasped and accepted, there really can be no blessing for a person. So I want to speak to you tonight about wickedness that only God can measure. If we had the capacity to speak as the greatest of orators, we could not express to you tonight the wickedness. I know that's a strong word. The wickedness that God sees in your heart as he does in mine. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. I want to emphasize to you just now that the heart is the spring of all evil. You know the statement, "The devil made me do it"? That doesn't square with what the Bible says. God holds man responsible for sin. Sin came into the world through a choice that a man made. His heart was not made by God to be wicked. His heart was not made by God bent, twisted towards sin. He had a capacity to make a neutral choice. He was as much biased to good as he was to evil. He made a choice to disobey God. And that event away back in the Garden of Eden is not a legend. It is not fantasy. It is a fundamental story in the Bible. And it is fundamental to our preaching of the gospel that those who listen may understand this. God is not now dealing with neutral men and women. God is not now dealing with people who are made good by God. We are dealing with a race of men and women who have been bent away from God. Sin entered into the world. Sin has affected every member of the human family. And wherefore, as by one man's disobedience, many were constituted sinners. That one act of disobedience brought all of Adam's family onto a plane where in the sight of God, we are sinners before God. It is the expression of your heart and of mine. But let me emphasize tonight again that this matter is a matter of personal choice. Personal choice. Now these are the words of the Lord Jesus. For out of the heart of man proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, thefts, lies. He speaks of all manner of evil. Where does it come from? Well, now our children are watching too much television. And they are hearing too many violent stories. And they are hearing too much bad language. And they are seeing too much of what is immoral behavior. And it's affecting them. Absolutely, it's affecting them. But you know how it's affecting them? It's just making it easier for what is inside to get out. It's just encouraging what is there to come out. Just like the polls that say, almost as if it justifies it. A high percentage of married persons are unfaithful. So therefore, the conclusion that we all draw is, it must be then all right. It's easier to let out what is inside because of what we see outside. But you see, the whole point is this. The problem is what is inside. Someone says, well, that's just not me. I mean, I know I did that, but that's not me. It is. It is the expression of what I am out of the heart. But not only am I speaking about what has come out of your heart, but I do want to tell you tonight that God speaks about what could come out of your heart. There are no compliments in this, and there's no room for comfort for any of us. I hope you understand. I am speaking to you as much about my heart as I am about yours. But if you were to envision in your mind tonight, now I don't want you to get distracted by this, but if you were to envision in your mind tonight the person whom you regard, perhaps some living person, some acquaintance of yours, the person whom you regard to be the most despicable type of human, I want to just quote to you what the Bible says. As in water, face answereth to face. Now today we would say as in a mirror, the image in the mirror matches the face. As in water, face in the water answers to face. so the heart of man to man. So that what the Bible says is this, you look at that person that you have envisaged and recognize that what you are seeing there is just like a mirror. What you are seeing there is exactly what is in your heart. Now, you don't think that. And I like people. I remember I was standing, speaking on the street corner one time, and a young lady came up to me, and I was preaching the gospel. There were a whole lot of young people across the street waiting to get into a place, and we hadn't tried speaking on the street corner before, but this was the first time, and we suddenly realized it was soon to be the last time, because as I spoke, the people began to gather around me. And as I took a breath, which every once in a while you have to do, the questions came firing from all directions. And there was a young lady there right below the curb, and she was very upset, and she was firing questions. What I determined was I'll take my breath as quickly as I can and go as long as my breath lasts, because I'm going to be the last speaker. Which was true. And when I finally ran out of fuel and stopped, this young lady, a nice-looking young lady, was ready to go. And she said to me, "Don't you believe that there's any good in people?" At that time, I was teaching children in school, so I said, "Well, now, I'm a teacher, and I do my best to bring the best out of my students. But when it comes to the way God sees us, there is not one good thing in any of us." Now, I'm sure she was a fine young woman, but she really helped my cause from that moment on, because she became very upset with me and did not really treat me too kindly. I survived. But the fact of the matter is, yes, there are fine people with whom we do business, and friends and neighbors. But we're looking on the outside. Man looketh on the outward appearance. The Bible says, the Lord looketh on the heart. It is, says God, the spring of all evil. But let me tell you worse than that, and you may think I can't get any worse than that. Let me tell you worse than that. It is the source of only evil. Now just bear with me while I show you that this is what the Bible says. We're going way back to ancient society. Way back to the first book of our Bible again, and to chapter 6. And this is what God tells us. God saw, now again, that's not what men see. God saw the wickedness of man, that it was great on the earth. That every imagination of the thoughts of man's heart was only evil continually. Now let me just break that down piece by piece. Supposing it said that God saw the wickedness of man, that it was great on the earth, that the imaginations of man's heart was evil, that what men are thinking about, their imaginations are evil. Now that would be bad. Not just that their thinking is, but the motive, the spring of their thinking, their imaginations, their creative capabilities are evil. But just a minute, it says more than that. God saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of men's heart, his creative spring affects all his thoughts, and it says every imagination of the thoughts of man's heart. You see, it's disallowing the idea that every once in a while a good imagination sprang up. Every imagination of the thoughts of man's heart was evil. Now, isn't that a terrible description by God of man's heart? God saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth. That every imagination of the thoughts of man's heart, now supposing it only said, was evil continually. There was no good springing up in there, and it was continually springing up evil in the sight of God. But if you know that verse, you know I left out one more word. Every imagination of the thoughts of man's heart was only evil continually. There was a steady stream flowing from the mind of man. And that steady stream was one crimson-stained stream of sin. Only evil continually. We were looking at it last night from the Bible. God says to the people through the mouth of Jeremiah in chapter 13, He says, can the Ethiopian change his skin? Can the leopard change his spots? So may you do good who are accustomed to do evil. The custom of the human heart is to do evil. And it is as impossible for a leopard to have tiger streaks on his coat by his own will as it is for a sinner to do good. Not in my eyes. In God's eyes. Only evil continually. Now why am I emphasizing this tonight? To tell you that if you hope by any means to gain God's favor, you are on a hopeless quest. That you have not got the slightest possibility that you will somehow or other obligate God to bless you. There is no way that you can offer God something, dipping into the depths of your own heart and pulling out the very best you have and saying, God, for this reason, will you not look on me with favor? Will you not take me to heaven? So a man in our area who has listened to the gospel all his life. He is way past retirement age. He has concluded that God must not be interested in saving him because he's not saved. Now you said it's a pitiful thing. It's sad. Do you want to know what's so pitiful and sad about it? Because his conclusion is just the evidence that he will not accept what I am preaching to you tonight. He thinks that God ought to have saved him, and he can't understand why God hasn't saved him. And therefore, it's all God's fault that he's not saved. I want you to know tonight that God is under no obligation to save any one of us. And you can't put God under any obligation. God is under no obligation to take any of us to heaven. People think that you have to be a Hitler to miss heaven. You have to be a human to miss heaven. You have to have this kind of a heart that all of us has. But what this verse is telling us is that the heart is the scene of vilest evil. Listen now to what it says. The heart is deceitful above all things. What's the most deceitful thing in this world? Oh, you say the devil must be the most deceitful thing. This is a remarkable statement. Beyond the deceiver, the devil, the Bible says, the heart is deceitful above all things. God can't trust the human heart. And you can't trust your own heart. You can't depend on your feelings. You can't depend on your good intentions. You can't depend on somehow or other forcing yourself to think right things, to feel right things, to do right things. The heart is deceitful above all things and incurably wicked. There is no human cure for the wickedness that resides, that reigns in the human heart. Now, I haven't left myself very much time to tell you this, and it's the most important thing to tell you. I want to tell you about the heart of God. And if you have understood, if I have conveyed as I would like to convey what God sees the human heart to be, then this is purely overwhelming. If I tell you tonight that the heart of God is toward you with the deepest possible longing to bring you the greatest possible blessing. But you see, until you realize that you are totally undeserving of that, it will never impress you. But you see, the wonderful truth is tonight that God's love, this is a wonder that only God Himself could manifest. For God so loved the world. God's love is not limited by numbers. I don't know how people do that have a dozen children. I think I understand. But I mean, you've got to spread a finite amount of love among a dozen. Mother seems to be able to do it. But God has a world of men and women, and I want you to know that God loves every individual in this world tonight as much as if there were only one individual on which to pour out the infinite heart of God. I want you to know tonight that there's a God in heaven that loves you. There's a God in heaven that longs for your eternal blessing. You're not lost in the shuffle of numbers. Neither are you lost in the darkness of your sin. There's a God whose love is not limited by sinfulness. You have never sinned so much that God has ceased to love you. You have never so offended the heart of God that God will no longer love you. Have you offended the heart of God? Yes. But that does not limit the love of God. God loves you in all your sinfulness, in all your unacceptability. God loves you. And the great proof of that is this. God's love is not limited by the cost that it paid. Will you understand tonight that in order to cleanse you, to cleanse me from the vileness of sin, now you understand God is an omniscient God. And God could not devise any other way. Now, I'm saying that carefully. God, omniscient as He is, able to do anything consistent with His character, God could not devise any other way to cleanse a desperately wicked heart and make it fit for His holy presence. God could not devise any other way than giving His Son to bear sins at Calvary. A sacrifice whose blood must be shed for the cleansing of sin. And yet the wonderful truth is this, that God did not hesitate. God did not wait to see if men could do something about it. And when men couldn't do anything, God says, well, then I'll have to try my last resort. I want you to know that God planned to send His Son before there was a world. And the moment came in the fullness of time. God arranged all the circumstances so that the moment might come when it would be just the right time to send His Son. And at the right time, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the curse of the law. And the glorious truth is this. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. There is not one crimson stain of sin, but the blood of Christ can cleanse it. And there's not one soul in the meeting tonight, deep stained in sin, but the blood of Christ can cleanse you from sin. Such is the value of the work of Christ at Calvary. The heart of God did not hold back His only Son. And God's love is not limited by the offer that He makes. Will you understand tonight that God has made salvation so available, and we believe this with all our hearts, as not a sinner in this meeting tonight. You could leave this meeting tonight cleansed from every deep stain of sin tonight on the seat where you're sitting. It's not a process. It is being willing to accept what God says, that I deserve nothing from God, and realizing that all that I need to be right with God was provided by the Christ who died at Calvary. And every sinner who gives up every thought of any merit in himself, any possibility of producing what God requires, totally wicked, unacceptable in the sight of God, every sinner who comes to that point will find that what Christ did at Calvary is welcome news. And it's available to you tonight. Don't leave the meeting without the Savior. Don't leave the meeting without this cleansing, provided by the heart of God.